Hello, welcome to a new strand that we might be starting on Sore Sound, which is Spotlight on Business. And today, for our inaugural episode, is James Bergmar, who is... Do you want to introduce yourself, James? And
in my role here, good morning to you. I'm Workspace Development Manager here at LCB Depot, which is a sort of business centre and creative hub in the city's cultural quarter, just over the road from the Exchange Bar, which helps locate it. That's me.
So tell us a bit about yourself. How did you become the... what was the role title again?
Workspace Development Manager.
Yeah, how do you become that? How does one sign up to be one of them?
Well, it's been... it's a good question. So I'm not sure I can answer that well. I mean, I sort of found myself here. My career's been a bit of a meander. You know, I just did what was interesting to me. So way, way, way back when I went to university, I trained in micropaleontology. But at the same time, I was a musician. So when I left uni, I didn't go and work on an oil rig or anything like that. I got into music. I got into session singing and did quite well, and session playing and songwriting for about 5 or 6 years. And the songwriting continued, but the session singing and so on, that stopped. And not too long after that, I started a family. And that was in Leicester. I'm a Londoner, you can probably tell, but that was in Leicester. Had my family here. Went freelance, worked in community music studios, did promotion, but somehow got into business coaching. Not quite sure how that happened. And from there, I did a bit of archaeology along the way as well. That's what I mean. I did what interested me, and a lot of travel. Got into business coaching, working with creatives, so designers, filmmakers and so on. Picked up a contract. Somebody gave me some money back in the days of somebody called Business Link, and was kind of doing training as I went along, making it up. But I seemed to have found myself, I seemed to be pretty good at it, and worked with, for nearly 20 years, worked with, from my late 20s, worked with businesses all over the UK. As I got a bit older, I started to get myself into, my contacts broadened. I'd done work for local authorities, Birmingham, Manchester, London, different boroughs, Bristol, Leeds. And through those contacts, I started to find myself getting calls to work in what they called European networks. So this is before everything European was frowned upon. Pre-Brexit, obviously, the EU would fund networks in different sectors, construction, health, but creative was my field, and that would be an opportunity to work around the EU on projects, so whereby countries come together, usually about 8 to 10 countries on a particular project, so innovation or could be anything. Somebody somewhere in that network in a country would get the money from the EU and we'd all work together over a period of 2 years, visiting one another, learning from one another. And all the rumour about, you know, the EU being wasteful, that was... convinced me it was the most amazing experience, the most amazing engine from learning from one another and taking those ideas back to where you were from, putting it in practice in your own business. I had a couple of businesses running in around Birmingham, the West Midlands, so that was really great for me. And I was also able to share everything I learned, how to do this, how to do that, I set up a small network in Birmingham, known as the Creative City Partnership, in partnership with the council. So it all sounds a bit unwieldy, but essentially I got the opportunity to work with people, learn from them and travel, and then bring that home. Fast forward to here, LCB Depot, and by the way, my songwriting continued and still does, even as an older guy now. That's been the one constant, and a family of four, should mention them. When I came to LCB, all of that stuff I'd learned, I was able to put in practice here. And whilst I thought the facility was great, I felt it was a bit quiet, and this was a car park, you know. I felt it needed to fulfil its potential. So I borrowed from a project in Rotterdam, project in Bologna. I spent did quite a lot of work in Tallinn, in Estonia, very creative city. And so brought some of those ideas, like the garden, the artwork, the networks that we help run through the city, and brought that all here.
So here we are for Spotlight on Business on Source Sound. I'm here with James Bergmar from, I'm Rob Watson, and I'm here with James from LCB Depot. I'm going to ask you a broad question first of all. Mm-hmm. What is the creative economy? Because it's like a buzz phrase that loads of people use. I thought I'd jump in with the unanswerable question first. But what's in your mind?
Okay.
How do you define it?
Okay, so I'll try and make a bit of comparison to help people understand, because it isn't all hokum pokum. It's a very real area. I mean, about 25 years ago, I can't remember exactly, the government, through their DCMS, Department of Culture, Media and Sport, came up with a definition of the creative industries, which, and you can still see that definition, you go online, and it's widely known. So it's film, performing arts, design, fashion, and so on. And software design, etc. There's a whole range of stuff there, architecture, etc. About 12 main subsectors, they call them. So that's the creative industries. And the cornerstone, the defining thing of that, is that it's any field that generates intellectual property. So a songwriter writes a song, they copyright it. An author writes a book, that's their own, they own that, and so on. Design, patents, copyright, etc. So anybody can tell, well, actually, that's really growing. Who creates intellectual property is a growing field. So I've been talking recently to a company that's a quantity surveyor. They're a quantity surveyor. They provide a service for the construction industry. However, they are now realizing that their work is so important in real, you know, an architect will design a building, but a quantity surveyor will make it happen in the real world. They're starting to copyright what they do. And this one particular company is saying, well, we're really passionate about the environment. They're moving into green design. And they've created and copyrighted some software that they use internationally. And they lease it, license it, whatever, to a local authority in another country, or a government or a regional agency. And they can do a heat map of that area of their country or their region, and it helps them start to make decisions about why are we generating too much heat there, what's going on, how do we need to adjust. So what I'm getting at there is that it started off as one definition, but for me the creative economy is bigger than the creative industries. It's where creativity exists throughout the economy. And you know, last year I had some plumbing work done, and if I look at what the guy's done, to me he was highly creative in using, designing that system to get around a particular structure that because I've gone out and built a structure in the garden. He said, oh my God, what am I going to do? So what I'm saying is the creative economy for me is where creativity exists in the wider economy. That's my definition.
There's a danger that becomes all-encompassing, isn't it? And we'll get into this. I think it's worth having a whole couple of hours chatting about this, about AI, and people are saying that you've got to go, you know, insurance of doing a job that AI can't do. But actually, and people say plumbing and, you know, hairdressing and things like that. But actually, AI systems can teach you how to do that. They can help you design things, and they can help you engage with things. So that media element, that element that there's for me, the creative economy is something which is mediated with a form of media, whether that's a screen for doing CAD design, whether that is a video explaining things. It's somewhere in that region, so it's anchored in the fact that it has a tangible output of a product.
We're in Leicester, and it's, you know, Leicester, a great city, there's loads of great things about it, and one thing that it's known for is point of sale traditionally. So point of sale is, you could argue, is what has caused us all to go into horrendous debt, because shopping became much more of a fun experience. Something you'd even, I mean, you know, you go to IKEA, and that can be, I'm bored of it now, but you know, the first few times I went, it's like, oh, this is different. So but that came from artists, artisans, carpenters, fabricators, sign writers, combining their skills to create this thing called point of sale. So no one person would do it on their own, but they combine and do it. You fast forward, you are seeing now examples of where people are bringing different skills together, and we almost have a new industry in a sense. So The creative economy, all I'm really saying is it started one place, but it's growing, and creativity is really important, whether it's AI or whether it's just doing something better. It's really important. That for me, that's my definition of the creative economy.
So, James, there's an idea that Brian Eno, famous music producer, ex-member of founder of one of the founders of Roxy Music, uses, which is called Scenius. Mm-hmm. And he says, for every genius, you have to have a scene of somebody who runs the bar where these people hang out, somebody who cuts their hair, somebody who's the DJ, somebody who's the administrator, somebody who's the cleaner. Mm. You know, and you can't have geniuses without having an embedded scene. Yeah. What you're describing about how your approach to LCB Depot has been is actually to create that scene. Mm-hmm. Tell us a bit about what that journey's been like, and what are the mistakes that you've made in that? What are the things that have not gone? Because there's a friend of mine, Schumacher College, years ago, they brought in some music. I can't remember what type of music it was, but brought in a musician, and they nobody came, and the creative director said, "This is exactly why we should keep doing it." Because you've got to start somewhere and you've got to make those mistakes. Mm-hmm. And we often don't want to talk about them. So what's your journey been like on that? What's the highs and the lows in terms of developing this scene? Because when you come to the Last Friday event, it's busy. Mm-hmm. Maybe paint a picture of what that has done. Mm.
Well, Last Friday, I'll get to that. That's a good sort of a litmus, a good illustration of what we try to do here. But if I go back, unbelievably, next year, this is pretty much my first job. And it will be my last. Next year, 2026, I've been here 10 years, which I cannot believe, having been pretty much freelance all my life. But I've enjoyed it, and that's why I've stayed. And I've seen the forward motion. That's why I've stayed. So when I came, the council had obviously made a great job to invest in these old buildings, bus station, and they're recognising there's a lot of these creative businesses starting to grow. And as I say here, we've got, designers, fashion people, marketeers, design agencies, graphic designers. I could go on. There's an architect above me. Also, all of the sort of local cultural organisations, Big Difference, who run the Comedy Festival. So it's a real mix. And they've said, we need to get these guys in the same building because we think good things will happen. And they were right. But what they did was, and I've said this at a couple of talks, is they built the buildings. They built the infrastructure, but we need to code those buildings. We need the software, and that's what we've tried hard to do. So, yes, our business, because we run as a business, we make money, but our business is leasing workspace. But our mindset, our mission needs to be seeing ourselves as a destination for everybody. So we have people use our cafe all day long who aren't necessarily in the creative industries, but it's a good place to work or meet their friends or... mums and toddlers bringing their kids. Wednesday we have a Muslim women's group coming because they just feel welcome. You can see now, just coming out the cafe into their regular meeting, we have a group of West Indian elders. We've created a space that people feel right and like to be in. Got this garden, artwork, etc. So what I'm trying to get at is we realised early on, yes, our business is these workspace offices, lease them out, make the money, but we've got other spaces, let's make it feel welcoming. So that's what we did. We became a destination. Everything you then do, whatever paperclip you buy, whatever new thing you do, whatever new event, is all about, does it increase our value as a destination? So some of the things we've done very quickly is we recognise, we've got four buildings in the Culture Quarter. That's about 175 businesses, I think that's right, about that. But there are businesses, creatives all over the city. So we link with them and say, hey, we've got loads of design agencies, people who build your website or whatever. You guys need to organise something. So now we have, and they've been going about 5-6 years, I think, Create Leicester. Just gathering in the cafe this morning is Creative Coffee. That's just a networking event for creatives. And that's led by a film company. It's not really necessarily good for their business, but they know they want to add value to the local scene, and so on and so forth. So we have helped come into existence. I think it's now up to about 12 networks in fashion, architecture, design, visual art, film, photography, etc. What we also mustn't forget is that I'm a believer in this thing that you have a mission, you have a resource, which is your space, your people, And you need to think the third thing, I always think in threes, is people. So whether it's your workspace tenants, whether it's your cafe users during the day, whether it's the businesses you relate to for events, we have exhibitions and so on. If you think about people, we need to just gather them. So we came up with the idea of last Friday. It was originally called Canteen, and it took off like, well, it took off very slowly at first. The first time, I think they'd had a sort of summer barbecues, about 100 people. First one was 400 people. We thought, well, that's good. Everybody was pleased, but I thought this can go further. And all we did was we all stopped work. We all of our ground floor spaces, our meeting rooms, our gallery, our cafe, our outdoor space, we bring in street food, we bring in comedy, we bring in a DJ, we bring in live music, anything that we could think of. We'd have people going round with rickshaws, anything that we can get, we try and say yes to and include it. And what we found was people, all people, young people, older people, families, different cultures and ethnicities, all people liked it, because people like nice things. And they like, whether they admit it or not, or know it or not, they like to rub shoulders. People go back to their lives and their communities, and that's fine. I don't need everything to look the same. But for last Friday, it's thought, how do we use a creative event so that what you can see looks like the city?
So you're listening to Spotlight on Business with me, Rob Watson, here on Source Sound, and I'm here with James Bergmar, who is the workplace... What was it again?
I've
no good in titles.
Yeah.
He does something with
manager.
Workspace development for LCB Depot. What's the kind of the... So there's another project that's the old Pilot House. Do you want to tell us a bit about that and what's that journey been like? Because you've been part of the project management, and I know I'm not asking you to spill any beans about the challenges of that, but you know, it's like these things are never easy, are they?
They're never easy. I mean, so LCB is a bit like Leicester Creative Business, is a bit like the brand that manages Workspace now. That's what we've become. So we have LCB Depot where we're sat. We have Maker's Yard down the road, and we have three floors above the Phoenix Cinema, all in the cultural quarter. That's, like I say, it's about 170 odd businesses. But for the last 4 or 5 years, we've been high occupancy, much more than a national average for business centres. National average is about 72-75%. We've got up to about 95% and stayed there. So we obviously do a good job, and we're encouraging people to set up on their own. So we thought, we need more space. And this goes back 5 or 6 years, when what was presented to me by the council, we've got this place called Pilot House, and lots of people have looked at that, but we're not really sure what to do with it, beg your pardon. So I pitched an idea pre-pandemic, when everybody was still coming to the office. You know, okay, we could take on a new building, but what we need is, we need more space like this, small offices, but we also need some bigger spaces that would fill up more slowly, but the city lacks them, and also then we get the ability to attract people to the city. So obviously then we had a pandemic and everybody starts working at home, but the project still rolled on, and the council was brilliant. They said, yeah, we've got this building, well, it's actually six buildings called Pilot House. And a long story short, I did these various presentations, they took it on, they got on board an architect, they designed this place, fantastic looking, got the builders in, and 2 years later, we're on the cusp of opening. All being well, should open by December. There's been plenty of challenges because they're heritage buildings. We're not new build, where we build a box and drop it on the ground and plug it in. You know, there's Pilot House, six buildings, which is now known as Canopy. There were 36 levels, so there was no ground floor, there were 36 ground floors. So the architects and the builders had to harmonise all of this. What we've got looks special. It is, LCB Depot where we're sat will always feel vibrant and creative. It's the real home of the idea within LCB. But Canopy is there for a slightly more business-minded market, and we're having really great conversations with businesses in and outside the city. As we sit here now, we're just under 40% pre-let, which is the business plan I wrote to satisfy the council, which is right and proper. Said when we open, we'd be 20% let. So we're doing better. We've got some really interesting people coming in. The architects that designed the building, we're going to leave the city. we did a deal with them. They're staying in the city, so that's good news. The branding agency that gave us the colours and the style of it and the name Canopy, they're going to move in. We've attracted the Leather Conservation Centre, which is an internationally regarded trust. They've moved up from Northampton. So there's lots of good stories in there. And now we are in the Kynal, which is just getting it over the line with all sorts of hidden gremlins right at the last minute as we go to opening. But we're looking to sort them and for people to move in during December. And I should say, if you come to OCB Depot, all of our networks, all of our events, our exhibitions are done through partnerships with business. Well, our prime partnership is with Grace Cafe. They're not just a service provider, they're a partner. And actually, they all employ musicians and poets and other miscreants like that, you know. So we work hand in glove there. We needed to get a different sort of partner. We didn't want to get Costa in. We wanted a business that was bigger than, say, Grays and growing, but I didn't want them to have 30, 40 outlets around the country. So we're really pleased to say we've got Public and Plants in. They've got based at a different sort of beast, but they're based at Loughborough. They're growing nicely. Loughborough, now that they wanted a footprint in Leicester. I've known the main guy behind that for some years. We've talked and they pitched in. We had a really good process. We had some really great applications, but they won. They start fit out any day now.
And it's kind of what unites people and brings people together is things like having the social space, the coffee.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not just about having the business administration talks.
No,
you know,
no. And that's that thing about being a destination. Some people, like I say, mums and toddlers just want to come for brunch or something. If you go, that's here, that'll be the same at Canopy. Many people turn up thinking, oh, it's great for coffee or whatever, great for lunch. But we'll also be people to use our meeting rooms. There also, we've got a co-working space just for daytime use. And of course, we've got 25 workspaces for tenants. So that cafe is in the central beating heart of the whole place.
So James, our listeners, let me put it this way. Let's start that question again. It's the Lead and Leicester campaign in order to promote and develop the story that's told about creative businesses, creative economy in Leicester. We have, you know, Leicester's a very, you know, as we know, it's a very diverse city. How do you persuade people who would maybe rather send their kids to, or there's a cultural pressure, you know, dentistry, law,
sure,
business,
yeah,
as opposed to the creative industries, however broad we might think of that? What's the message for people that you think that say, you know, this is something, there is a viable, because you read things in the media and it's kind of, you know, it's Mickey Mouse degrees, you know, all that kind of stuff. I mean, my background is media production, and it was always a fighting against that kind of, but actually it's quite, I went to a trade fair last week, emergency services trade fair, and there's people selling things like, you know, kind of step ladders for fire brigade, stretchers, all the practical things, but they all use media. They all have training videos. They all have some kind of media-assisted support for their products. So how do we persuade people to look beyond, you know, and see the creative industries as a viable
sure,
pathway for them?
I mean, it's an interesting question. And first of all, as a dad, you know, I fully understand that we all want to our kids to do well, and things are getting more challenging, if anything, you know. Look, buying a house, you know, it's like it's a completely different thing to when I was young. But I suppose what I would say is inform yourself. So where it would start for me is, if you have a home or a house, do you like the house? Did you buy a good house or a bad house? If you bought a good house, you'd have checked it out through things like surveys and whatnot. That's down to an architect. Okay, so they're proper jobs. If you like nice furniture, that's down to a designer. If you have got a website, or you use a website, or you use apps, all of that stuff is designed by creatives. So for me, a lot of the time, we don't see these things that just magically appear. The wheel was a pretty good invention, you know, and that was done by, you know, and that's done us quite well. So I won't sell it to, because in a way, I suppose I'm talking now as a parent to other parents. I won't sell it. I'll say, simply inform yourself as to how the world works and what makes the world tick and what goes forward. I mean, nobody has a problem looking at somebody like Jeff Bezos, you know, and whatever you might think of him, but he is basically in tech, and that's all about coding and design, and that's why he's done so well. It isn't about parcels, that's just the execution. What's underpinning it is this incredible world of tech.
It's making that shift, though, isn't it, between people just consuming stuff and people actually say, no, actually, we can make this. So if you think of television, for example, a lot of people say, well, we're not happy with what BBC does, or we're not happy with the kind of dramas that you get on ITV.
Yeah.
And my answer to that is always, well, why don't you set up your own?
Yeah.
You know, you can. You know, if you've got a mobile phone these days, you can even get a cheap secondhand one.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a video camera. Set up your own channel on YouTube. It's free.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
How do we kind of encourage people to make that leap into being producers?
I really know the question you're driving at, and I think
I know what it is.
Well, I've thought about this a lot over the years, and I think, and I do come at it as a parent, as well as somebody that's worked in this professional world. But for me, is that if we're going to get out of any of the problems that we have, if we're going to improve the way we live, we need creative approaches to create new things and ideas. If you, for instance, you know, there's been lots of things going on in the world at the moment, and I hear lots of narrative around, not really sure we can trust the BBC, or the, you know, is it biased reporting? But if you go on YouTube, you can decide for yourself. There's lots of people there, and you think, actually, these guys, I trust what they're saying. So you could be one of those. You could be that voice, you know, to set up a podcast studio just to focus on that. You know, these days, if you've got a laptop and you get the software, it's probably a few hundred quid. You can do that. You can create an environment for yourself. You can start to talk to the world. That's one specific example. But, I mean, here we are. My son is a trained choreographer. He's won awards. He's in his 30s. And he set up a TikTok channel. And I said, what on earth are you doing that for? And he said, Dad, I really want to promote discussion. I want to promote debate. In 8 months... He's obviously caught the moment. He's gone to 200,000 followers. Just this week, he's earning $2,000 a month as a TikTok creator. So what I'm saying is to mums and dads is that, yeah, okay, we need good dentists, we need good lawyers, but we also need good creatives, because creatives solve problems that improve the world. And we do have a lot of issues at the moment, and they are growing. We need people, dare I say, who don't just want to fly the flag, who want to look at their society, look at their community in a different way, and creativity and design are ways to do that.
So just to wrap up, James, tell us, what do you personally look forward to then in this process? What have you gained from it? What's been the benefit for you? You're still here, you're still doing it. Do you get up in the morning and go, actually, with all the burden of administration and all the responsibilities and deadlines, what gets you out of bed to keep at this?
People and their potential. I know, I mean, in, like I said, 10 years I've been here next year, and there's been probably three or low ebb moments when the cost of living is crushing us, you know, in terms of utility costs and the cost of fixing your lifts, and you can't pass that all on to tenants to increase their rent. You do it gently, modestly, but so there have been some real challenges. But what gets me out, in fact, there's the answer. Come to last Friday, come to a good exhibition launch, go to a good networking event. When you hear that spark, when you hear that sharing, when you listen to that laughter and those ideas, one thing we say here is we try to say yes when people come in. That is what keeps motivating me. And yeah, you know, because I live only part of the week in Leicester, you know, I have a 5 a.m. start every week, so, you know, I need to be motivated, and just that's what I did this morning. And yeah, I am. It's people and their potential, their possibilities, and a belief that more and more people, I mean, this city came in for the first time ever, Adobe, the software people, do a national survey of UK creative cities, and for the first time ever, Leicester got in the top five. So that's a local thing, that's a parochial thing, but for me, when you see where creativity takes people, that's what keeps me going. Because here, more than anything, it is about fixing the lift and all the rest of it, but more than anything, it's about people. That's what motivates me.
And just a kind of bit of forward thinking and looking, you know, with your crystal ball, what's the trend that you think? I mean, it's almost impossible to do this because, I mean, obviously AI is ripping things up and generative content, you know, kind of if you're a photographer, you've got, you know, images that you can create and graphic designers are being challenged by these things. But it comes back to, what do we value about that human input? What's your kind of thoughts on this, and how are you going to keep people from panicking?
I don't know. I can stop the panic. I mean, I switch off Gemini every single morning when it comes up on my software. You know, it's if we start to see people that use AI. I heard of some medical research the other day, and AI has pushed forward at leaps and bounds. And I read the story, or it was a podcast actually, I listened to the podcast and I thought, that feels authentic. So I'm a guitarist, guitar used to have 5 strings, and one day they put a 6th string on, so you had an E at the top and E at the bottom, and there was anarchy. People were burning their these new instruments. Yeah, back in the 60s.
Dylan went electric.
Yeah, Dylan went electric. There was anarchy. He was cast out, you know, he was like... So you have to treat it, because AI, in a sense, is an innovation. But for me, I think the thing is not to focus on the tool, but focus on who's using it. And if you feel they're a good person, if you feel they've got a good aim, if you feel they're, you can believe in there's an authenticity about them, then I say go with it. But it's a good question, because it could be all-embracing. Governments will see it as a quick fix, you know, but if that starts shedding loads of jobs then and putting more wealth in the high-ups, then be a citizen, be a good citizen. That can't be a good thing. So it always will come back to people. But my one thing, my takeaway, I suppose, would be who's using it and do you trust them?
Cool. It's been fantastic. Where can people find out more about you and LCB Deco?
So probably the best way to do is to come to last Friday, which is the last Friday of every month here at LCB Depot on Rutland Street in the Cultural Quarter, and coincidentally that's this Friday, 5 till 10, kind of couple of quid on the door, loads of fun. But if you just want to really research, just go online, lcbdepot.co.uk, have a look around, follow us on Instagram, follow us on LinkedIn, we're easy to find, and bring some ideas.